Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Billy, why don't we tell them what we're about, man?
So we're here to welcome you to the Madhouse Chronicles. It's a talk show with myself, Billy Morrison.
And me, Ozzy Osbourne.
This man, Prince of Darkness. And we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Come and join Ozzy and myself. Visit osbournemediahouse.com to get special access to...
Come on!
What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh.
With one of the best savings rates in America, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. Even easier than choosing Slash to be in your band.
Next up for lead guitar. You're in.
Cool. Yep, even easier than that. And with no fees or minimums on checking and savings accounts, is it even a decision? That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One N.A. member FDIC.
This week on Happy, Sad, Confused, Paul Scheer and Rob Hubel visit the studio and hilarity ensues. And we catch up with Sammy. Hey, Sammy.
Hi, Josh.
It's been too long. Sammy's not been on the intro for a couple weeks, guys.
It's been tough. It's been tough for me. I don't know how it's been for the audience, but...
I feel like they're in stunned silence.
Yeah, right, they've had
now
to listen to a lot of you.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, guys. But we're happy to have you back.
Thank
Welcome
you. I'm
back.
Very happy to be back.
Catch us up. What's latest?
I had the flu.
Yeah, you did have the flu.
But I got the flu shot.
You got the flu. It was during a shoot we did.
Yes.
Which was, it was the Hiddleston shoot.
The Hiddleston shoot.
We were worried that you might get me and or, more importantly, the wonderful Tom Hiddleston sick.
I was really, because Tom's like a sweet guy.
Did you touch Tom Hiddleston?
He came in for a hug and kiss.
Oh, my God.
And, yeah.
You've killed our beloved Tom Hiddleston.
I was like, what if, like, the next
Tom,
day
Tom, if you're listening to this, yeah, get thee to a doctor.
What if he had, like... his Bond audition the next day, and he's like, I suddenly feel ill.
But you've recovered, despite the flu shot, which did nothing for you.
Which is a sham.
It's a sham. I didn't get my flu shot this past year, and no flu for me.
Well.
But I take care of myself.
Good for you. Yeah.
My body is a temple.
Yeah, you're a real picture of health.
I did. I had a little visit to Los Angeles. I talked to the Power Rangers.
Big week last week. Started with Hiddleston.
We started with Hiddleston. It was great to have him. He came by the studio. We did a Facebook Live. If you haven't watched it, you can enjoy that on MTV's Facebook page.
What I wish we could have gone live with was Hiddleston hanging out for 20 minutes after the shoot ended, just shooting the shit.
Legit. Tom, as you, if you listen to this podcast, you've heard us talk about Tom
a lot. We love him.
He's the best. And he did. He just hung out and we, you know, shared some silly videos he wanted to show us and just sort of he treats everybody like awesomely and he's just a good guy.
And I was like, normally this would be perfect. But right now, I feel like I might die. So you have to leave, Tom. You have to leave.
We should mention that we haven't quite figured it out yet, but we're on the brink of figuring out how to auction off Tom Hiddleston's fake mustache.
Wendy mustache. It was in his nose. It's been all up in him.
So for context, for those that don't know, we did a rather infamous sketch a couple years back called Loki'd that featured Tom as a character that wore a mustache he called Wendy. That really makes no sense, but trust me, guys. So
Google Loki'd.
Okay. So he has worn this fake mustache, and he was kind enough to agree to auction it off for a charity for UNICEF. And Sammy and I are working on it. Really, Sammy's doing the hard work, but we're going to figure out very soon how to auction it off to you guys.
More difficult than
I know,
we thought it would
be. But we'll figure it out. So stay tuned to my social media, Joshua Horowitz with Sammy. I'm sure we'll also put it out there. Mm-hmm. And you guys can contribute to a good cause and get a piece of Tom Hiddleston memorabilia in the bargain.
Win-win.
Yeah, there you go. So other than that, not much to say except that I was so stoked to have Paul Scheer and Rob Hubel in the studio. Paul Scheer was a very early supporter, proponent of Happy, Sad, Confused, and we had him on one of the very first shows. But we've never had Rob on. Rob I've done a bunch with over the years, but never on the podcast. And when these two get together, wackiness ensues. No, they legitimately are two of the funniest human beings on the planet, in my estimation. And this conversation, one of the kind of benefits I feel like of talking to them is I don't really have to do that much prep because we can go in any tangent and they'll make it hilarious. And sure enough, they did. And this conversation goes into a lot of bizarre areas, including well, there's a lot of nerd talk, Star Wars talk, Batman talk, a lot of talk.
That doesn't happen with you normally.
I know, but Paul especially is a big old nerd like myself, so that's an easy place to go. And yeah, and they have a new show that's called Drive Share that you guys should check out. It's on Go90. It is absolutely free, as they stress many times in this podcast. And a lot of fun, great improv comedians in this show. It's kind of like a takeoff on Uber, Lyft, et cetera. But like the drivers and the passengers are all played by great improv comics. A lot of fun, and it's free. So what more can you ask for, guys?
I love how Rob's in like Transparent now, and he's really
both of them have they like if you look at their IMDb, these guys work, but both like creating their own pieces of work, but also Rob's going to be in Baywatch for this summer. He's on Transparent. Paul shows up like I feel like I can't even keep up with all the different cool projects he's in. So they are not wanting for work, and I understand why because, as I said, they're so quick-witted and so smart and talented. So a real pleasure to have them both on the show. And again, go check out Drive Share right now or maybe wait till after the podcast.
Don't do it at the same
time. Show some respect for the show, guys.
How dare you?
Why are you even
press
thinking
pause
of that? Without any further ado, here is Paul Scheer and Rob Hubel. Check it out.
This is Rob Hubel and Paul Scheer, my guest today on the podcast.
No, Rob.
Yeah, what's up?
You're my guest and welcome, by the way. That's a weird way to start the podcast.
Wait, this is not my podcast?
Thank you.
Whose podcast is this? Well, yours?
Yes, Rob does do mine, a podcast Rob. In the studio, and it is about Clint Eastwood's effect on the general population.
Clint Eastwood?
Just Clint Eastwood, the Clint Eastwood effect.
Yeah, you should listen to his 10-part orangutan series.
Oh, my gosh.
The orangutan
years. Bustin' Loose.
Any which podcast, but...
So Paul's been on the podcast, so welcome back, Paul.
Thank you.
Paul was a very early part of the podcast.
I was.
And you bought in early. Because I wasn't on board until very recently.
Until you were forced to get in this room.
Until about a minute ago, I was not.
I saw you kind of be literally physically pushed into the room.
I didn't want to come on.
Yeah, there was like a foot in your back as you walked in this room.
If there's not a live audience here clapping, I don't want to do it.
Rob is on more of that comedic rock star shit. That's, not TM Kevin Hart. But, he's just kind of like got to live that live life.
Right.
This podcast.
Do you mind if I Instagram this entire podcast?
No, go for it. Let's Snapchat it.
Boomerang it.
I've never boomeranged.
I sometimes will boomerang.
I was on Boomerang and they kicked me off.
No, that doesn't work. It's not.
Boomerang,
the most underrated cable network.
Are we allowed
am I
to
right?
swear? Can we swear on this podcast?
Yes, yes. What's your favorite swear word? This is the closest you'll get to James Lipton.
Benedict
what's your
Cumberbatch.
Nope, that's a human being.
I would say dick pics.
Okay, well, part of that, I guess, is kind of a profanity.
Yeah. The pics.
How many pictures exist of your penis out there in the world?
I don't know. That's a great question.
Thank you.
More than I, if you Google me, it's the first thing that comes up.
I will say.
Google Rob Hubel right now, and the first image is my cock.
Wow.
I will say this.
You might want to see a doctor.
He says black. It should be black and blue.
Yeah.
It's
bruised.
Yeah,
you're doing something very wrong.
Yeah. I wear cords a lot, and my cords are constantly bruising me.
You have cock cords, which are little cords just for your penis.
It's like more of a pouch.
Yeah.
Right.
But lately they've been bruising me a lot, so that's why my cock is black.
and blue.
And blue.
Are we going to see your erect penis in Baywatch? That's going to be
a great question. Good segue.
Thank you.
I will tell you. I can tell you that
he's so good. I don't know how he
you
does
are pretty
it.
Good. Baywatch comes out in May. I should find out when.
That's
May,
what we're all promoting here today, right?
Yeah.
Baywatch. This is Baywatch.
Yeah. You see my dick in Baywatch, but just from a distance. I will say from like about 200 yards away.
Right.
But it's giant and black and blue, so you it
yeah,
does stick
you'll see
out.
It. You'll see it.
It's like a mini King Kong in the distance.
They do a snap zoom on it from 200 yards away. You know what a snap zoom is, where they zoom in really fast?
Yeah, I see it in my mind's eye right now, yeah. Unfortunately.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
And I actually did all the CGI work for The Rock, the same way they did Grand Moff Tarkin in Rebel Rogue One. I was there and I did.
Thank
you,
for doing that, by the way. It was very. You were very
busy.
Easy to work. He's very busy.
So busy. Did the Grand Moff Tarkin thing bother you? It didn't bother me. No. I know a lot of the fanboys were really bothered by it.
I haven't seen that.
It didn't bother me at all, actually. And
what are we talking about? Star Trek?
Oh man.
Come on.
No, I really, hands down, enjoyed Rogue One for a couple reasons. But
name one?
One was. Reasons. It was so dark that it made me excited to go like, wow, if this is where they're starting, this means that there will be great Star Wars movies. Like, it wasn't like they started with, and no offense to Thor, but like a Thor-level movie. It wasn't like, okay. It was like, oh, they made a real choice. It's really fun. They did some cool things. They tied it together. And, like, I was in for the ride of it. I don't care that it doesn't connect. I like that universe, and I think expanding that universe and making it still interesting is the biggest challenge. And
What's the part where the stormtroopers are in the ocean?
That was cut out.
Yeah.
It's in the poster, and I was like,
is that why you didn't see the movie?
No, I wanted to see it because of that.
It's the Corona ad of that of that movie. It's like, hey, stormtroopers on the beach.
That's not in the movie.
No.
There's a great thing that you can watch on Vimeo where they take all the footage that was in the trailers and they edit it all together. And it's pretty amazing. It's like, wow, they cut a lot out of this movie.
So why are you not seeing the movie? Can we ruin the ending of the movie without ruining it for you?
You can ruin it for me, yeah.
Rob still's on season one of Lost. So
I'm on season one of Lost. And the thing that's confusing is like, what is the polar bear about?
No.
What is that? Why was there a polar bear?
We want you to enjoy the journey.
No, I missed that movie because I just had a baby. Thank you very
Congratulations.
Much. Congratulations to me.
Wait, you just give me a second. That's not fair.
I don't know why you didn't congratulate me.
Why didn't you jump
sooner?
On that congratulations?
Why didn't you say congratulations?
He's got a couple kids. I could congratulate him too.
You.
I mean,
and mine is kind of new too. I have
you know
a
6 month
old.
No one gives a fuck about Shear's kids. Everyone's curious about my kids.
I've got a lot going on in my life.
What? What is it?
What do you got?
What?
I don't have any kids. Nothing, you got a podcast.
My kid just got nominated to a cabinet post, which is pretty amazing.
Which one? EPA?
He is actually running. He's running a very small thing about NASA, actually. So he doesn't believe in outer space, so he's cutting the whole NASA program.
Right. He should just cut it.
Well, because
nothing
like,
big
is that.
Just cut it.
What is it?
Why
do we need
it?
Why do we need other planets?
That there is such a thing as a
space?
Think it's honestly, the way I understand it, is the sun is hitting the ocean, and then at night, the reflection of the sun from the ocean shoots up this thing that we assume is the moon into space.
Were you homeschooled?
Yes, I was. Why? Why would you? And it was the best way to be schooled.
I do want to back up and say that I do love your kids, Paul.
Thank you.
I'm the godfather to his first son.
My first son?
His first son. His second son, I'm not that interested in. Yeah. His second son.
First son.
But here's my question about your kids, Paul. Yeah. And I'm. This was not asked
ask
by you,
away.
So
ask
I'm asking
away.
The question.
No, please, jump in there anywhere.
Where do you stand on homeschooling? Are you going to homeschool these kids?
Look, if it's cheap, let's do it. You know what?
Well, it is inherently cheap. Yeah, I can tell you that it's cheap.
We got a Wi-Fi connection, and we got a kid. Right. We got everything we need for homeschooling.
Maybe leave it to June.
You know what? I got to teach these kids some really cool stuff. Like smoking. Yeah,
smoking and driving.
How do you guys feel about, we alluded to the political realm right now.
We're big supporters. Just give him
politics?
A chance.
Got it.
Just give him a chance.
I've noticed on Twitter, you're quite active.
I've become obsessed to the point where it's ruining my life. I'm not going to get over it.
No,
I will never get over it.
Because I never really would tweet about politics until
never.
The election.
But did you fucking ever, am I allowed to swear?
Yes.
Did you ever know any Secretary of Education in any other presidency or any Secretary of Health and Human Services?
In that way, I guess it's good. I'm engaged.
I didn't track any of this ever. And
well, because
now it's
the
like
people were
civics 101.
They had a baseline of competence.
Yes, that's it.
That's right.
Yeah,
if you hired people that like we didn't have to worry about, then I don't have to worry about.
You could
now
disagree
I have to worry
with
about
their
all of you.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, it's like, yes, Obama had trouble getting like one or two people through, and they went through the same idea, but they are all qualified to hold a position, which is the rare thing that's going on now. I actually took my anger and frustration that I had and was venting through Twitter, and I actually
I did something productive. Paul's doing something great. I'm still just like, here's my opinion. Fuck you. But tell them about your thing.
Well, we started this thing, my wife and I, June, and a bunch of other amazing women, this thing called the Big 100, and it's spelled out like 100, on Instagram. And it gives you small micro actions that you can do every day. Because when you look at the macro, there's a million things going on. It will make your head explode, and you'll right. get anxiety all day long. So
is this one of those actions ranting on Twitter? Because
you know,
you've got that nailed down. Yeah, you're good.
You could do it. Yes, I guess you could do it. Like, it, but the idea being like, you know what? We have to be better citizens anyway. We have to be informed. So let's like do a little action every day. If we can keep ourselves informed and keep it going, it will be a good place to be. So we're doing it for the first 100 days of the administration. We've gotten to do a bunch of cool stuff. But to your point, one of the actions that we did was this thing called GovTrack. It's not, and by the way, this campaign, nonpartisan. Just it's just about being good citizens.
You can I'm against find, that.
Oh, come on. I mean,
you're ruining the whole vibe of what he's doing.
I'm against being good citizens.
But you can – I mean, believe me. I posted up this thing about GovTrack where you can just find out who your representatives are. Because honestly, I had no idea. I had like – I could name one.
Oh, yeah. And maybe I have never called a congressman before. Now I'm doing that all day long.
Yeah. So now you could track them. But even when I posted that, which was like, hey, just know who your representatives are so you can see what – and we can see what
no
they vote on.
No one's against that.
And people were like, fuck you, man. Not going to change a goddamn thing. I'm like, all right, let's just
– I don't want to know who represents me.
Yeah, like we got to just open our eyes a little bit. And you could – hey, look, if you want to give all, you know, dogs guns, which I am –
totally at four. Yeah.
Totally.
I think that's a great idea.
It's a good starting point. We don't know where, I mean, it may end up bad, but we all know until we try.
Under Obama, he was always about trying to give these dogs, like, you know, they're not human. They can't hold a gun.
Was there just a bill to specifically give guns to mentally ill? Is that a real?
I don't think it was to gift them with them as if it's like a nice, like, you're mentally ill. Here, let's give you a gun. Yeah, no, it's not that. It's not extreme. But
I think it was a chapter in a larger book. Like, it was like, the bill itself passed, and one of those parts of it was like,
but
and
that's
also, yeah.
Ridiculous.
Oh, yes. It's crazy.
What is happening?
But on the other hand,
Hillary had some emails. She used a private server.
How political does DriveShare get, by the way?
Our new show, DriveShare, another good segue. This guy will fucking segue hard.
Oh, they know that about me. Yeah. My eulogy, they're going to say political. He segued hard.
That show is all comedy. I will say this. I do think that right now, because of Trump, the one fucking thing I will give him is that he has made people hungry for comedy.
Yeah.
Like, I do think that like any comedy show, any movie, like people are like, yes, I want to go. I want to see it. So yeah, Paul and I made this show for Go 90 called Drive Share. And the easiest way to explain it is, what's the fucking worst Uber ride you've ever had? It's just terrible Uber rides, hilariously done by all of our
comedy buddies. It's a sketch comedy show. Basically done in an Uber. And we did about 30 episodes, and there's about like 80 or 90 rides. So you get to see tons of people that you know. People like,
Jason Mantzoukas, Jack McBrayer,
Andy Daly,
Natasha Leggero,
Aquafina,
Judi Dench,
Dame Day-Lewis.
Judi Dench. Yep.
But it was actually really good.
Milo Yiannopoulos.
Charo's great. Yeah. Milo's is weird.
Charo.
But the benefit of it, and this is the one thing that I feel like I keep on saying to Rob that I like about this thing, regardless of the content that we created, which I do think is very good, it's totally for free. Like, you don't have to subscribe to anything. You don't have to give a credit card.
No
you don't
Hulu,
have to sign up
bullshit.
For anything.
Yeah, you don't
it's
need a membership.
Just go to go90.com. Or you can download it on your phone, but it's free.
Have you been paid? I'm worried about you guys. What's the pay structure of this?
We wrote it and directed it, and we're in it. But we didn't get paid.
But I do feel like that's like
do
a
it
big
for
problem
money,
lately.
What do you do it for?
We don't do it for money.
We do it for the art. By the way, I just came back from Sundance, which I missed you in Sundance.
Yeah, we didn't see each
other. Why don't you guys drop names on each other like Sundance?
Gosh. And every time we would go.
Anyone can go. It's a film fest.
It's open to anybody if you have a lot of money.
I was not invited.
No, but you don't have to be invited.
Well, actually, one of the films that you were in was there. You probably
were invited. I could not go because of my baby. Oh, this baby is ruining everything.
They would tell us at Sundance, they would go, hey, look, before we go out there, if anyone asked you if you want to sell the thing, you just say no. I'm like, what? This is the whole thing. Who are we fooling?
Wait, what do you mean? You were trying to be coy about whether or not you wanted to sell your movie?
Yeah, like what's the goal? Like they said, if anyone asks you what the goal is, just say we're just here to have fun and show the movie. I'm like,
Who are we fooling? Everyone here is like, literally, the idea of Sundance is to make deals in the shortest possible right. time.
Wait, how did we get onto this? Because you guys saw each other in Sundance?
Well, we didn't. That was.
But we were just talking about money. And the show segue. I mean, we went from black and blue to this.
I'm trying to track all the segues.
Why?
I don't know.
Let it happen.
I know. I guess I want to know where we're going.
As a country? As a podcast?
As a podcast.
This is Happy Sad Confused. We'll be right back after this.
It's not easy being the one everyone counts on to keep your operation running, no matter the weather or supply chain hiccup. But we get you, Raymond in Buffalo, Maria in Miami, and Jules in Troy. Taking control of everything that's under your control. At Grainger, we're here for you with high-quality supplies for every industry, plus real-time product availability and access to experts ready to help. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Right now, think of a friend, your mom, anyone you care about. What podcast would they really love? Got it? Now do it. Tell them about it in real life or on social media, and if they don't know about podcasts, show them how. Tell us what you recommended with the hashtag Tripod, TRYPOD. Thanks for spreading the word.
Who's the most political person you've had on the show?
Mark Ruffalo.
Actually, Mark hopefully is coming on soon, so that'd be sure. awesome. That will be an hour of fracking. Awesome.
You have not had any Trump supporters, though, have you?
Not that we've talked about. Not yeah, that they have.
They don't listen to podcasts. They don't know about podcasts.
Yeah, sure they do.
Really?
Don't be like that.
Yes.
Right. You're dividing this country further.
Yes.
Come on, man.
A lot of people who voted for Trump like his policies but don't like his demeanor. That you know, we can all agree about that.
That's not a good excuse. If they like his policies, then we got a problem. Well, here's what I'll give you.
Yes.
If you're and I don't know who I'm going to – am I going to get – am I going to get poison mailed to my house for talking
shit?
This
is a red state podcast.
No. We're very big in the red states.
I mean that as a Kevin Smith fan.
I will acknowledge that if you're a Trump voter, it makes sense to me if you were like a coal mining person or out of a job and you actually believe in your heart of hearts.
He's going to get you that job back.
He's going to get you that job back. Yep. Then I can see why you voted for it. But otherwise, if you're just like a person that's intolerant and you don't want like black people or Jewish people or gay people or Muslims or trans people or anyone else to have the same rights as you, then you're a piece of shit.
Well, Rob, I can also
on the other hand,
on the other hand, Hillary did use a private server.
Hey, look, and he's using his phone now. It's totally fine. It's totally hackable, but it's fine. I will
he's
say
he's a man
this.
Of the people at Mar-a-Lago, where it costs $200,000 to
and,
get a steak
dinner. Can we watch him a la Chauncey Gardner sitting there at a table just smiling.
That picture of him looking into the camera where there's like chaos all around him and he's like – and you know, that was just a woman that walked by and took that with her cell phone. And so really what's happening is he's flirting with that woman. He thinks he needs
attention wherever he can get it.
He thought he was going to get his dick sucked by that woman taking that picture. And didn't
he would
realize
never
it would be,
cheat on we
should,
his wife.
We should root for that to happen. If anything, we need something to bring him down.
Oh, sure. By the way, it wouldn't make a difference.
By the way,
it wouldn't
we,
make a difference. You could show a picture of him getting his dick sucked.
Oh, yeah,
and he would be like, you know what? The media is too hard on this guy. It's a fake news story. That's not his real dick. That's not her real mouth. She sucked other dicks, so that means that she is more guilty than he is. His dick just happened to be in that location
at that time.
It would be so many variables that you couldn't even get that story
out. Can we get memberships to Mar-a-Lago?
Maybe we all three of us can go in on one and we can alternate because it's expensive.
I think there was
what is it? It was 200, but it jumped up when he became president. It's now like 400,000?
No, it went up to 200. When he got a president. I saw something online that said they wanted to get Eric Andre membership to Mar-a-Lago. And I am behind that Kickstarter.
Yeah, Kickstarter.
Oh, yeah, like I would like to get
for
him in there.
Sure.
Look, and I haven't told you this. I did vote for Trump. And for one reason.
Wait a second.
I wanted to see Omarosa and him going at it once again. Look, they couldn't give it to me on the old NBC. So I needed to see it on CNN. Fox, everybody.
I think anybody that saw Omarosa way back when knew she was destined to be in the White House.
What does she do now?
she's his body man? I don't know. What is
she? I don't know her job.
She has
a position, she's a communications
advisor of some sort. Okay.
She is definitely.
In which case, she's doing a very bad job.
Very bad.
But by the way, I honestly think Omarosa is doing the best job because you've not heard a single story about her. Like, if you can keep your head down in the Trump presidency, you're a genius. Like, I have more respect for Omarosa now than ever. It's like, she's the only one that we haven't heard. Alex Jones is consulting now with the president.
What's funny, though, is like how many.
We're going to attack aliens, guys.
Think about all the.
Sandy Hook, the jury's out.
Yeah, we don't know.
We're not sure about what happened at Sandy Hook.
How much evidence is there, really?
What's crazy to me is also the crisis actors. By the way, I'm fascinated by the idea of crisis actors.
Dude, what about paid protesters? I fucking wish
I made bank last year protesting. Are you kidding me?
Protest. Like, that is hilarious.
Is George Soros PayPalling me like crazy? It's amazing.
Yeah, George Soros. Well, he does Venmo for me.
Oh, right.
He Venmos you the money?
He Venmos me. You just tell him what's up. It's such a crazy idea. I don't know. It just drives me nuts.
It's hard. It's here.
I was saying to Rob this
morning. I feel like we've tanked your podcast.
Yeah,
we should get off of this because that's the real problem with Trump is tanking podcasts. He will fucking ruin a podcast so easily.
Yeah.
But how many times does this happen to you just when you like meet up with your friends and you say, hey, what's going on, man? Hey, what's going on? How are you? I'm fine. 5 seconds later, you're into it. With this.
Yeah.
Well, here's what I'll say. You know what I do to get out of that? I talk about the Oscars. You know, the Oscars are one of the Hollywood's last traditions. And oh my goodness. And we either just watch the Oscars or.
I was going to say, it happened, I think, a week or two ago.
Oh my gosh.
That?
That
was crazy.
Oh boy, the Oscars. This was not taped
Could
before
not
the Oscars.
Believe that John Wick 2 came out of nowhere John to Wick win 2, Best Picture.
For John Wick 2 to win Best Picture, that was incredible.
Well, let's talk about some hot pop culture hot button issues.
Right.
Okay. Since you just.
That will be happening 2 weeks from now.
Well, they'll still be relevant, I think, always. Okay. Where did you come down on the Dwayne Johnson, Vin Diesel tiff of 2016?
Well, Rob, I don't know if you can talk about it.
Catch me up a little bit.
Okay, well, I can kind of.
Please. Oh, this was during Fast and Furious?
Fate of the Furious.
Yeah. You know The Rock, and I only know The Rock through SoShMe. And
which, by the way, is not an acceptable.
Yeah, you're so busy you can't actually say social media. What's
social me? So
social me is not
a
great abbreviation.
Yeah, that's not
so on social me. The Rock seems to be, from all accounts, a genuinely wonderfully positive person.
Yes.
Right. He has a strong work ethic, as we can see with his beautiful, beautiful body.
went to an interesting place.
No, but he just seems like to be a great guy. And so all of a sudden, in the middle of shooting Fast 8,
America's
franchise.
I was going to say America's Citizen Kane.
Right.
Arguably,
Citizen Kane is America's. America's new Citizen Kane, I should say. He tweets this thing that comes out that basically is like, and I'm, you know, paraphrasing, but like, I'm sick and tired of pansy asses messing up this thing. I'm going to slap a fool in the face, like a real aggressive, but not naming names.
Right.
Yeah.
But basically,
very
like,
out of character.
I had
for
a run in with somebody on this movie, which left everybody guessing, who is it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not Tyrese, is it?
I don't think it's
Tyrese.
It can't
be Tyrese.
Scott Eastwood? Who has a beef with Scott Eastwood?
No one. Now, here's the issue. He did do a lot of scenes with Jason Statham. I have a theory.
Oh, it could be Statham.
It could be Statham. Because,
Statham.
Because I feel like, and now I don't want to put you on the spot, but I'm going to talk out of school. I love Jason Statham. I'd love him to be the next big action star. It doesn't look like it's going to happen, but I love him.
I feel like we're 10 years too late on that.
He's always trying.
I feel like Jeff Speakman might be the next action hero. I'm digging deep.
Really deep. I love it. Howie Long. But I feel like he's always been trying to get up there. But anyway, I've heard he's pretty humorless.
Oh, interesting.
And
I'll put it this way. He hasn't done a Happy, Sad, Confused photo with me.
Oh. Okay. So.
And I've had decent experiences. But I think it's fair to say that, yes, on my end of things, he's not the quickest, jovial, fun interview.
I had a theory that he might have been giving him a hard. I mean, look, I think the finger you want to point at is Vin Diesel. And I guess you can say it actually was Vin Diesel, because didn't Vin Diesel come out and say, like, the next day, like, yo, we apologize. Hey, it's cool. Like,
yeah, something so, like that. Yeah, so in Vin speak, he said something to that effect.
So Vin Diesel was just like dragging ass on set, like just not showing up late or not.
Can I talk out of school for one second about Vin Diesel?
I'm not going
that's
to, but you,
podcasts are
you do
for.
It. Vin has been a guest on the podcast. I can't go against my Vin. But okay. I love my Dwayne too.
You got to come down somewhere, buddy. You can't just
be
like
Mr. Vanilla, Mr. Rookie. Right,
you can't just
pick
like
the right side. History will judge you on this.
I'm always going to be
Tell you this from Baywatch. Like, he is the hardest working dude. Like, they would call cut, you know, in a scene with him. And a team of people would come up to him and be like, okay, Dwayne, so we just got to come over right here. And this is someone from the Make-A-Wish Foundation. And so, you know, he is like every moment
he's being
doing something for someone else. Like, they would say cut. And everyone on Baywatch anyway, like Efron and stuff, they would whip out those exercise bands and they'd start doing like curls to like stay ripped in between takes.
I had Stallone do that once. I was visiting on a set of a movie, like this Walter Hill movie, like 5 or 6 years ago. That nobody saw, and in between takes he would like take like giant like it was like bowling pins, and he would just start flexing them.
Well, to me, there's something really interesting about guys who take their shirts off in film. It seems to me like the look that you idolize, like when Chris Pratt takes off his shirt in Guardians, like, by the way, he's in amazing shape, but that shape that you see is for that take. It's like, you're like, it's almost like,
I don't
drink water for the night before,
for sure,
I'm gonna do this thing. So when you are getting to that moment, you are like, it is like, that is the end of the marathon right there. Like, you're going to always be in shape. Like, Chris Pratt, the day after that, still going to look amazing. But he looks more amazing because it's like,
I think that was a problem on Baywatch, maybe, because they're like shirtless like the whole time. So they have to be like fucking ripped like in every take. And all the girls, too, everyone's working out. I'm the only asshole in the movie that wears a suit in every scene. So I am disgusting, and I did not work out at all. And I would...
All I'm going to say is this.
In their faces.
I think that when you work on a movie like Fast and Furious, you all have to be a team player, because the franchise, as Last Witch Hunter proved, is bigger than the actor, any actor on that movie.
Yeah, Triple X actually made big money overseas.
Overseas. Number one movie in China, made $260 million.
China.
What do you have something against the Chinese?
That's the way Trump says it.
China. Yeah,
yeah. But one China policy. So this is what I would say is that. But I think he had the same exact formula. I mean, Triple X is a rip. Like, the new Triple X is a rip of Fast and Furious. He just cast a person from every
international
continent.
Yeah.
And by the way, I love the shit out of Triple X 3, whatever it is. I loved it. It was great. But it's like, it's the same model. It's like, we're all like, the reason why this is a juggernaut is the same reason why Avengers is a juggernaut.
Right.
It's like we all band together.
There's something for everybody in there.
Exactly.
But Triple X is no John Wick 2.
No, nor is it a Last Witch Hunter. I feel like Last Witch Hunter screwed up. I mean, Elijah Wood, we love. Michael Caine, we love. But it's a little one note. A little diversity.
I didn't see it.
And by the way, I
really?
Think
you didn't see Witch Hunter.
I didn't see
No,
baby.
That was a while ago,
My
though.
Baby has really screwed everything.
You're listening to Happy, Sad, Confused. We'll be right back after this. I did a lot for Last Witch Hunter. I moderated the Comic-Con panel. It was a magical moment for that one.
What other panels did you moderate?
Well, over the years, I tend to moderate the ones that bomb. Oh, I moderated one of yours.
Did you do a Children's Hospital one?
I did a Children's Hospital. I see what you're getting at.
Yeah.
But on the film side, I tend to moderate major flops. I moderated, what was the Mike Judge movie? Not Idiocracy.
Oh, the other one, the one with the serum.
Extract. Yeah. I did Terminator Salvation, the McGee Terminator movie.
Well, tell me about
The
Genesis. Witch Hunter.
Am I
How
weird
was the Witch Hunter panel?
The Witch Hunter panel was wonderful. What's worth noting is, so Vin, as you guys will know, and especially you, Paul, probably know on social media, or
social media,
he decided to Facebook Live himself as we were going out on stage before the panel, but he misjudged the timing of it. So I'm out there like introducing the panel, and he thinks he's about to go live, and it's like 10 minutes of introduction. So basically it's him backstage saying,
Here we go.
I'm
going to walk out there in 2 seconds.
Well, can we talk about, I mean, obviously
is that a
you've never
good,
had.
Did yeah, I do a good
it's pretty good.
Yeah,
that's my favorite thing of Vin Diesel is what his flirting with that Brazilian woman. Did you see this?
That got just thrown under the rug very quickly, I feel like.
Yes.
What was it? I don't know if I saw that. I had a baby.
He starts throwing himself at this Brazilian reporter. literally crawling on his knees to her, going, "Oh my God, you're beautiful. You're beautiful. When did this become a beautiful world? When are you like?" If I don't want to wreck it for anyone,
that Google, sounded more like Stallone to me.
Yeah, maybe. Than...
Have you ever seen the Ben Affleck interview along those lines?
No.
So people have not seen this. Okay, Google something to the effect of Ben Affleck.
Has Ben Affleck been on this show?
Not yet. Okay. And he probably never will
this
be
is
now.
Not help
yeah, yet. It's not going to help. But I'm just going to say they're deep into the podcast. People have probably bailed by now. Certainly Affleck has.
Certainly he's not going to listen to this.
By the way, the Trump stuff cut off most of your audience right out of the gate.
So there's an amazing interview. It's actually for, I think it's on the Gili press tour.
Okay.
Where he is flirting with a French-Canadian reporter, as I recall. And to say flirt, it's actually insane. It should have ended his career.
Right.
He is all over her. He makes her sit in his lap.
Oh, my God.
It's insane.
God. Let's talk about you as a moderator. Oh, I think that you should be doing more of it because you actually have a sense of humor and you're fun and you're interesting.
That's a tough job.
I feel like
job.
Most
that
of the people that are up there have never seen these movies and they're more excited about like themselves hosting
right.
the like you can be funny, you can be interesting, and you have a knowledge base.
When you're a fan of the movie,
it's very kind.
I've seen so many boring ass Comic-Con panels.
I think generally that's all they. Oftentimes that's the safe bet. I think for a studio or something, they want somebody that's going to basically just mime their talking points, which. Frankly, I can do too. But yes, I like to be a little bit, hopefully, in the moment and
fan,
reactive to things.
As a fan, it's so much more engaging when you're at those Comic-Con because you're so excited to see these people and talk. And if you have like this, I mean, we got it a lot in the league when we would do things. They're like, oh, you're being interviewed by Fangoria Magazine's, you know, lead reporter of interview. It's like, okay.
No offense to Fangoria. Big
no
fans.
Offense.
Great. Starlog, Fangoria. Great.
Yeah, love
great, great stuff.
But like, it does. Because what I always find is they cut the fun of the interview. And it's like you're all up there. Just let it go. Find moments.
Well, we were also lucky. Tangents. Like every time I feel like I've done anything at Comic-Con, I don't know how we got off that. I don't know what the segue was into Comic-Con.
Why are you so obsessed with the segues?
Still,
why can't we just talk
control
like human beings?
No one needs
it.
To. Last Witch Hunter. He did the panel. Blah, blah, blah.
So I think that at Comic-Con, at least the stuff we've done like for Children's Hospital and stuff, when we do a panel – we have the luxury, and I know for like NTSF, you guys, you can do whatever we wanted. You know, like a lot of those like big movies and stuff, there's a really serious talking points and there's a studio and it's also a cast of people that doesn't really know each other or like each other sometimes. Like on Children's Hospital, we're all good friends and would just dick around, you know.
I also feel like there is a big fear of these people being called out as frauds. Like they're in these big sci-fi movies and have no interest in sci-fi.
A lot of fear of that.
And they're just
I
don't want to be asked the question about
offend,
what my character did.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's a good point that like they don't want to be exposed that they're not a nerd.
Yes.
You know? So everyone at Comic-Con is like, oh, I'm a nerd. Oh, I'm a real, I'm a bigger nerd than
no
you.
Follow-up.
That's
no follow-up.
Why every
please,
like
please.
Cool person like wears their like one Marvel t-shirt. I will tell you one thing, and I will spoil a movie for it, but I think it was worth it. I was at Comic-Con one year watching like the big Hall H panels for Warner Brothers.
Is that the one when the kid stabbed everyone with a pencil?
I was there for that.
do you remember that one?
There's a
kid that stabbed.
Yeah, I do. I wasn't there. I can't pin that on me, but yes, I was there.
I remember exactly where I was.
So there...
I was at the urinal.
There was... So Cameron Diaz was up there to promote The Box. And The
classic,
Box is,
classic
you know...
Movie.
Classic
yeah.
movie.
Yeah.
And
classic.
So they're
classic
talking
Marsden.
About the movie.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, it's Richard Kelly's movie.
Yep.
So it's cool. It's like, I think it was like one of his first movies kind of back again or, you know, there was a lot of excitement about The Box. And very purposefully, they were keeping it like a little bit quiet, like not quiet, but like they're being coy.
Yeah.
And so like Cameron Diaz in an attempt to
connect. I call her Cammy.
Cammy
D.
In an attempt to connect
really
with
work,
the crowd. But, she's like, well, you know, the box was given to them by aliens. And there was a moment of just stunned silence as she's wrecked this movie, did the spoiler, and everyone's like, and you could hear a pin drop because, like, did we just
the
hear
studio,
her say that?
Yeah, I bet the studio was like, oh.
And then they just kind of were like, they picked it up as if it didn't happen. But it was such a great, crazy moment. But again, it was like, I'm trying to connect with you nerds. Like,
hey, you dummies, you're going to like the movie. It's about this.
Yeah.
That's sad. Yeah, that happened at Star Wars Celebration last year. One of the actors revealed that I think he dies in the film.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Can't go on. You can't say that.
They all die, by the way.
What?
Yeah, that's Rogue One.
What about the stormtroopers in the blue water in the ocean?
They drown.
Well, they don't know for a fact. We assume.
They definitely drown.
They drown?
Well, look, the planet blows up, so they're dead. Yeah, yeah. They're all dead in the end.
When the planet starts to blow up, they lose their footing and they fall in the water.
They drink Coronas?
There's like a 15-minute sequence of them drowning. Very painful.
Drowning in like 6 inches of water.
TK421 world.
It's very real. It's raw.
Can I also ask? Please, yeah.
At Comic-Con, do you get laid a lot?
I'm married. I've been married for a long time.
Yeah, but so does your wife?
Yeah, my wife does not come to Comic-Con, so nothing's happening.
What do we all think of the new Millennium Falcon Han Solo picture? Are we on board?
I'm on board for that. It's Phil Lord and Chris Miller. Those guys know what they're doing.
I just had a baby, so I haven't seen the picture. I don't have time to look at pictures, a baby. So I don't know. For me to look at a picture, that takes, what, like a second, no 2 seconds?
Sometimes
I don't have that amount of time.
Okay. All I want them to do, and this is my only hope for that movie, is if it's good, which it will be because, again, it's Lord Miller, I just want them to give themselves some room to make more of those movies. Because I feel like it would be so fun to have like a Han Solo trilogy. If he's good.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only variable that I'm curious about. But I feel like his hair already looks like him.
Yeah, that picture in the cockpit actually like sold me on it.
I was like, okay, I'm on board.
Can I ask again, because I've had a baby, who is the Han Solo?
It's not, first of all, the Han Solo. Yeah. Han Solo is a character name. It's just Han Solo.
I misspoke. I'm sleep deprived because I had a baby. Who plays Han Solo?
Alden
Ehrenreich.
Ehrenreich. He's from. Did you see Hail Caesar?
Yes.
But you had a baby, Rob.
How did you have time for that?
No, good point. I did not see it. He's in Hail Caesar.
He's like the Tom Mix character, the cowboy.
He's very funny.
He's very funny.
There's a great scene with him and Ralph Fiennes.
Oh my gosh, great. So fun.
Is that your favorite Fiennes? Ralph Fiennes?
He's
or
my
Joe
favorite
Fiennes?
Fiennes. No, Ralph is my favorite Fiennes.
I have an autographed picture of Ralph Fiennes
in my bedroom.
I literally, in my childhood bedroom.
What?
Because I saw him do Hamlet at the Bellecourt Theater here in New York City.
Why are you bragging that in your childhood bedroom? First of all, that you have a childhood bedroom.
This is what happened.
Is it still preserved?
Is it for yourself or other children?
This is the weird part of the story that I was going to reveal to you.
Is it your childhood bedroom? Or
you have children that come by?
It's a childhood bedroom. It's a bedroom where I bring children.
All the children
so they don't
of the
get
world.
Nervous all when we've kidnapped them. No.
And that Ralph Fiennes autograph photo puts them to sleep.
Yes.
It calms them.
Keep quiet. So what happened was this. When I left for college, my parents, after a couple years, moved to a new house. And so they got this cool, like, little condo, nice thing. But my mom felt like I wouldn't enjoy the condo unless she made a room that was my room.
Right.
So they built a weird shrine to you?
Well, they built my room, but didn't have anything that was like that I would have. So my mom found a playbill that I had autographed by Ralph Fiennes. She's like, well, of course we're going to frame this. He would want that on the wall. Like, so my mom
just took all the relics from your childhood.
It was like
plastered them around.
Like a shitty museum curator going, this sounds this would go on the wall.
This sounds like a horror movie. This is the opening of a horror movie. Like,
my
you
mom
go back,
created
you go
my
to,
own fake
yeah, you
bedroom
go,
with a lot of pictures of myself up. Like a lot of like high school graduation pictures.
This will have emotional resonance for the child.
Wow.
So, Rob, where do you want to go next?
Current movies. Movies that we're going to see
in 2 weeks.
In two to 3 weeks.
Well, yeah.
Ask us another pop culture.
Who should the next Batman be? Because we're worried about Ben Affleck. Do you think Ben Affleck's going to leave Batman?
If Affleck will come on this podcast,
then I want it to be Affleck.
Again, I think Ben Affleck showing that he's a smart guy.
Right.
Because I think he's like, you know what? I'm not going to be able to make the movie that I want to make. So I'm
gone. I want it to be Casey Affleck. I want and no explanation.
No shaving of the beard.
No explanation.
They look very different. They're one's like much bigger and older.
But I think that it should be Casey Affleck playing Ben Affleck. So in other words, they switch him out, but they don't tell us that they did it.
Right.
And they leave it up to us to see, like,
it's like a fun like bonus for the audience.
Yeah.
Are we talking old Batman? Or are we talking young Batman?
You tell me. Where does the franchise go next? What do you want
Morgan
to see?
Morgan Freeman.
He's a great actor, but why not
Morgan Freeman?
You're
racist.
I don't want to see
an
origin.
That's not. Come on, man.
Black Batman.
I'm fine with Black Batman. Idris Elba Batman? Let's do it.
I would do that.
That would be fucking
by the way,
awesome.
That,
I just did it.
Idris Elba Batman
that,
would be
by the way, would
awesome.
Be the way to go with Batman, to make it interesting and different. Like, because we've all heard the Batman origin story. I feel like we all have seen.
I feel like I've never seen his parents die, though, in a film.
Have they ever shown that? I don't think. It's like, so that was the one thing that I really appreciated out of everything that I didn't appreciate in Batman versus Superman, was that, like, it's like, okay, and we're just
did you see that one, Rob?
I have a baby.
Oh, my God.
No, I actually heard that that was not a good one, so I didn't see it.
It's very bad.
But
did you see what James Cameron said?
My baby saw it. My baby hated it.
Did he say positive things about
it? No, James Cameron's like, I'm inspired by people like, and why am I blanking on his name right now?
Zack Snyder. Yeah, I did see that. That's horrible.
That doesn't mean, that's more of like a defensive, like, oh, I like you.
To be fair, James Cameron, who I legitimately think is a genius, like all his films are pretty much amazing.
I love the documentary about the Titanic.
Classic. But he does say some, like he said nice things about recent Terminator movies, which objectively speaking have not been good.
I think he's looking at effects, right? Like, do you think that he looks at it like a scientist? Like the way that like George Lucas looks at stuff? Yeah. Like, I think he's like, ooh, that was cool.
Effects. Yeah, you're right.
Like, you know, he's like, that was a cool monster. Like, how did they do that?
He's not looking at the entirety of the movie.
I will argue that I love James Cameron. Every movie he does is pretty spectacular. I've never watched Avatar again.
What? Avatar's great.
Is it?
I really love Avatar. I know it's not cool to say that
I
now.
I saw that movie.
In the theater.
Did you have a baby then? Well before I had a baby.
But you'll never see it again, probably.
I loved it. Okay. I would see it again.
In the theater, I really enjoyed it. Yeah. I think the 3D in the theater, it was really fun. Is it worth going back and revisiting?
Well, I say at the time, and again, this will not give me much in the way of cool factor, but that ship has sailed. I saw it like 5 or 6 times in the theater.
Wow.
Then, because it was an amazing experience.
Yeah, it was an amazing experience.
I've caught bits of it here and there on TV, and I think it holds up fine. I mean, I'm not sure I'm ready for 4 more Avatar
movies.
I don't understand who's asking for that. Why are we building a Walt Disneyland based on Avatar? Like, this is not a movie that resonates with anyone.
But I disagree. I think people like it.
Have you ever had a conversation with a kid who's like, I love Avatar? It's like,
First of all, I don't go around having conversations with kids.
Well, he's got the kids in the room, in Ray Fiennes' room.
I bring them in there. They feel very safe. They feel very cared for.
Are you ready to talk about Avatar with me now?
No, but I mean, there's no, like, that Avatar is not transcended. It wasn't like Star Wars.
No.
I think we can all.
We can agree.
Yeah. And I feel like to force
it's no
this
John
on us,
Wick 2. I agree.
Did you see that one, Rob?
I saw the first one. So I get it.
I snuck out during the middle of the day to go see John Wick 2.
John Wick 2 is great. I've seen it
twice. I heard it's great. I want to see it again.
I
heard it's great.
John Wick
is the fucking best movie.
But you know what they did was so great with John Wick 2, though, was they took all the cool stuff that you liked from the first one and expanded it.
What about the killing of the dog? I didn't like the killing of the dog.
Well, then you'll like John Wick 2 because there's less killing of dogs in the second one.
I'm on board.
There are dogs and less killing of them.
Great. I'm on board.
And it's good to see Keanu, a good guy, get his just due. He's a movie star.
Yeah, he's the. I mean,
Keanu
listen,
to
I,
me, when used effectively, is the perfect.
I think he's,
yeah,
he's
I think
a good
he
weapon
knows,
in the right
I think
hands.
He knows exactly what he is, and he knows his range. And he's like, I'm going to operate in this sweet spot
see,
right
that's
here.
My
and people love it.
That's my disagreement with you. I don't think he's that, because I think he goes all over the board, and then when he grooves into the right slot, then it's like, we're ready to go.
Yeah.
And there's like Lake House.
I was going to say Lake House is right
well,
spot.
Of course he's going to try to stretch it out.
But I think it's he does like, you know, like the Speeds and the Matrix and John Wick. Like, he's almost great as like a vessel for like being a physical specimen, because he's amazing like action. He could do all that stuff really well.
I think you can project a lot onto that face. There's a lot of enigmatic energy there.
It's interesting that you said that. People say that about me.
Do they?
Yeah, a lot of people
I said it.
Paul said it.
Who do you think of the two of you, who's most
me.
Like...
Me. Whatever this question
who's,
is.
Okay, we'll say Michael Clark Duncan. Who's most like Michael Clark Duncan?
I was going to say that.
R.I.P.
I was going to say, who's most likely to murder the other one in this relationship?
Great question. Me.
Yeah, I would say
Rob. You murdering Paul.
Well, because Rob has a bunch of Civil War guns that he's always trying to show people.
Yeah, yeah. I got a huge collection of Civil War guns.
As many as he has Ray Fiennes autograph photos.
And the thing about Civil War guns is they didn't have the safety mechanism.
No, that's why he's always
always going off.
He's
always
running around the house with gunpowder, biting off the horn, like those little horn things that throw the gunpowder in there.
Pouring gunpowder down the chute.
I appreciate you dressing up in the paraphernalia today, too.
I wasn't told not to dress up for podcasts. Just so the listeners know, I am wearing
Confederate
a tie.
My
Confederate regalia.
It's time to go.
All right.
It's time to leave,
Wait
guys.
Wait a second.
What?
That's a terrible segue.
Wait, but we didn't even get to talk about Trump.
No, we
didn't.
How
long did we talk about Trump?
That was a solid 10 minutes.
Yeah, solid 10 minutes.
But for those listening now, it's all been edited out. So a solid minute.
I don't know if people got my full rant on Trump.
The jury's out is what
My website.
Jury's out.
By the way, he bought all of the websites that had any possible. Did you see that?
No.
He bought like years ago, like bought like every sort of Trump domain name you could ever come up with, like Trump scam.
Right.
Trump fraud, Trump sucks.
Wow.
Like, he bought thousands and thousands of domains.
Well, he's a smarter guy than we give him credit for, I suppose.
Yeah. I would have liked to have been that lawyer, just like, bye. Bye. And then you have to present that list to him. But it would be insulting. Like,
there was a guy that owned like Trump sucks dicks in like Brazil who was squatting on it for years. And then finally he like gave it up. And then Trump bought it like the next day. It's true.
Wow.
The guy was like, oh, fuck. I should have held on to it.
The important thing to take away from all of this, beyond the fact that
our
world is falling apart, drive share.
Free comedy.
Free comedy.
If they want to pay for it, I suppose there's probably some way. If they see you on the street, give you some money or whatever.
Look, we're fine.
Save your
we're
money for your insurance premium. Save your money.
We can leave the politics behind for a second.
Premium.
Don't be so negative about everything.
Watch drive share for free.
For free. And follow Big 100 on Instagram.
Thank you for having us on my podcast.
No, that was my podcast. But
we have a wrap up song.
We have
here's the ending music of the podcast. This is the end of the show.
Brought to you by.
No, we do this square spoon.
That's
not. I do love Diet Ginger Ale, but that's not.
All the ginger flavor without all the ginger calories.
Jell-O pudding pops.
Bill Cosby is next week's episode of Happy Sex.
No, that's not true.
Why haven't you had the Cos on?
Well, he's been going through some issues in recent years. We want to see how that.
Oh, I had a baby. I'm not aware. What's been going on?
Well, did you hear that Donald Glover got cast as Leonard for the remake of Leonard Part 6?
Thanks for coming, guys.
Thank you for having us.
And so ends another edition of Happy, Sad, Confused. Remember to review, rate, and subscribe to this show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm a big podcast person. I'm Daisy Ridley, and I definitely wasn't pressured to do this by Josh.
This episode of Happy, Sad, Confused was produced by Michael Catano, James T. Green, Mukta Mohan, and Kasia Mihailovic for the MTV Podcast Network, with additional engineering by Little Everywhere. You can subscribe to this and all of our other shows on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever else you find your favorite podcasts.
The Jeep Grand Cherokee 4xE. It's electrified. Boogie, woogie, woogie. So you can boogie, woogie, woogie into the forest. Boogie. Boogie, woogie, woogie through the mud. Or boogie, woogie, woogie to work. Where you boogie woogie woogie down the hall to your boss's office to tell him you quit. Sure got the boogie. Then you boogie woogie woogie to the elevator as he boogie woogie woogies after you, begging, please, take me with you. Boogie. The electrified Jeep Grand Cherokee 4xE. Learn more at Jeep.com. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.